My name is Jeff Archie, and thank you for joining us once again on this broadcast.
I'll be reading Philippians 3, 9 through 11. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead.
The Apostle Paul desired to know Jesus Christ, not simply by a simple acquaintance, but the word here that we find, the word know, means to intimately know Him, to know and to understand and to grow in the knowledge of Him, not simply know who He is, but also know Him, what He has done, and what He continues to do. Let's see if I can explain it by way of illustration. Renita and I at one time enjoyed watching a show on the old WB network, now on the CW, called Seventh Heaven. It's on a Sunday evening now. We don't get to watch the show as we once did. To be quite honest with you, the story plots were getting a little boring. But I recall a few years ago that, if you're not familiar with the show, it's a preacher, his family, and how he deals with his family, the things that he faces and so on. One episode had some money missing from the church where he preached. And they began to look and they found out that the treasurer, the one that took care of the money, was siphoning some money. Not that he was being dishonest, although he was, but his reason was that his son was in special needs and they had a little too much pride to bring forth what the problem was. Be that as it may, it was still wrong. But the part in the show that caught my attention was the preacher, Eric, was speaking to the treasurer, and he looked at him and he said, "You know, we have known each other for 20 years. And I'll never forget what his reply was. He said, "No, Eric, we have gone to church together for 20 years. You see the idea of when Paul says that I may know Christ, it's not only just, "Oh yes, I know who He is." But Paul said, "I want to know Christ." Here is one that already knew Christ, obeyed Christ, but he said, "I want to know Christ." Here's my question this morning. Do you know Christ? And I submit to you a beginning, then an end in each part of this lesson, if you will. If you know Christ, I want you to consider with me what we will know, what we will do. I want to challenge us. If we simply come and we worship our Lord, that is wonderful, that is commanded. But I also believe that when we worship our Lord, that we must come into worship and we must leave to serve. We need to be better people in a world that needs Christianity, that needs Christians 24/7. That we need to live the right kind of life, and we will do that if we will know Christ. Paul brings forth four things very quickly from our lesson text. That if you know Christ, you will know the following. And not only will you and I know it, it becomes part of our lives. For example, notice what Paul said. That I may know Christ? All right, let's begin. If you really know Christ, you will know the power of His resurrection. Paul stated that I want to know Christ and not only His resurrection, but the power of His resurrection. Today there are churches throughout the land that are overflowing with people. If you take our individuals who are away at the Lajda Leaders Convention worshiping in Nashville, bring them in this morning, we would be the same way. We would have a strong number. It is amazing how people profess a faith in Christ, especially on an Easter and on a Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, with all due respect, with love and appreciation, I trust that will be the beginning of your faith, not the end of it. A commitment that is to Jesus Christ on Easter and Christmas is not a commitment any of us can expect to get to heaven on. With all due respect, it should be the beginning. There are 50 other weeks of the year. There are 363 other days that we need to put Christ in our lives 24/7. Did you realize and did you know that the holiday Easter was never recognized in the New Testament? Did you know that the New Testament church did not conduct Easter cantatas, nor have a service where they recognized solely the resurrection of Christ, but as we'll see from the Apostle Paul, they lived that every day. You and I will find that Easter recognition as a religious holiday was actually created by man and not by Christ. And you can go back to 325 A.D. and see the Nicene Council when they passed that legislation. Ladies and gentlemen, this pulpit will proclaim the resurrection of Christ every week, every day, and we're thankful upon the first day of every week, which is the, if you will, the holy day Christians are to meet, to worship God in spirit and in truth, that you don't wait just once a year, you are thankful for it every day. And Paul said, I want to know the power of His resurrection. And if we know the power of the resurrection, here's what we know. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15, you find three of them. Number one, through the power of the resurrection, you and I have the soul-saving message, the gospel of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2, and verse 14. You and I will have hope in Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 19. You and I will have a promise in Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 14. Did you know through the power of the resurrection, Jesus became the head of the church we read of in the New Testament, the church that we desire to be a part of? That's Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. Did you know that through the power of the resurrection, we are able to understand the beauty of salvation and the importance of baptism as we are raised to walk in newness of life in the like figure of His resurrection? Romans 6, 3 through 5. You see, my friends, if you really know Christ, you will know the power of His resurrection. And knowing the power of His resurrection, those things will come into your life and be a part of it. You will understand and obey the gospel. You will see the necessity of baptism. You'll see the blessing of hope, the blessing of promise, and you will see how you will be a member of the church that Christ is the head of, not any individual, any human being, nor coordinated by an earthly headquarters. If you really know Christ, you will know the power of His resurrection. But I submit to you secondly, if you really know Christ, you will have a part in His sufferings. That's what Paul said here. That I may know Christ, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings. I want to have a part in His sufferings. Think with me for a moment. Jesus, in speaking to His apostles in John the 15th chapter, and verse 18, Jesus made a statement to them that stands as true for us. If the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted Me, they will persecute you. If they have kept My saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for My name's sake, because they know not Him that sent Me. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I do not believe you and I are faced with the threat of death for being a Christian in this nation. Not yet. Ladies and gentlemen, I firmly believe in many of our lifetimes we may see some things that will be absolutely shattering in our lives. Do you realize that in Muslim countries, a Christian, about the only thing he has is a prayer? But they will take his life because of his belief in Jesus Christ. We understand that we suffer spiritually. We struggle. 1 Peter 4, verse 16. We also suffer physically. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. We suffer physically. The outward man perishes. The inward man is renewed day by day. And there are people whose faith is challenged because of physical sickness. It's discouraging. It can be a great problem. We suffer and we know that we, as Christ, bear our cross. Luke 9:23, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Watch how Luke says it, take up his cross daily and follow Me. He takes up his cross daily. You and I understand the burden that we must bear. We're taught to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that's Galatians 6:2. But we understand as Christians we can bear those burdens together. But make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, you and I face sufferings, challenges in life that vary spiritually and physically. If you really know Christ, you will have a part in His sufferings, and you will do as the Savior did. You will look unto God, and you will understand your purpose in life is to see those things through and to know that He is there for you and for me. This morning we were discussing in our Bible class of young adults, we were talking about overcoming discouragement and frustration. And how a lot of times when discouragement and frustration and problems hit an individual in their lives, one of the things they will do is pull away from the Lord. Have you known an individual faced with spiritual struggles or physical problems? And a lot of times those things will actually pull them away from our Lord. I have an article that I'm going to write very soon. I have to be very careful how I pen the article. It's going to be simply titled, Concerning Sickness and Work. I'm indebted to our Ronnie and Debbie Arthur, to our Jackie Brewer for the idea. Because I have seen within the last month, they come forward confessing sin in their life of struggles with sickness and work. And you would think neither one of them could contribute to a spiritual hurt. But in reality, yes, they can. You see, folks, we suffer in a variety of ways, but we can bear up under that suffering if we really know Christ. He's able to help us. Number three. If you really know Christ, you will be conformed unto His death. We have spoken of bearing the cross. But think of how one conforms to the death of Christ. Romans 6, 3-5, we mentioned a few moments ago. Let's speak the text in its entirety and watch. When Paul begins that chapter in chapter 6, 1 and 2, he comes down to verse 3 after he begins this way. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's bringing that from chapter 5. Because sin entered into the world, grace so much the more came into the world. And Paul is bringing forth a point that you don't sin in order to get more grace. Back to verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, watch it, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Then he goes onward. Know ye not that so many of us, who's the us there, the Christians of Rome, so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now think with me on that one for a moment. He goes on in verse 5 and says, if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. That ties back with our first point. But I want you to notice that we are baptized into His death. We are baptized into the death of Christ. That's where our sins are crucified. The old man of sin is crucified, Romans 6, verse 6. We keep renewing ourselves as Christians, John 4, 20-24, that we may move onward in Christ. Back thinking also of the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul told them, you have He quickened, or made alive, or He has produced, and He has pressed onward with. I love that thought. He's produced you, He's pressing onward with you, He's quickened you, He's made you alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins. But when we think of Colossians 2, 12 and 13, being buried with Him in baptism, we see that we have been risen through the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. One is conformed to the death of Christ when one is baptized into Christ. We're baptized into His death. Ladies and gentlemen, next to partaking to the Lord's Supper on Sunday, every Lord's Day when we partake of the Lord's Supper, Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 12 and following, verse 25 and following, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember the death of Christ, but when you were baptized, you were baptized into His death, and that's as close to the death of Christ as you and I will ever come. Because the old man of sin is then crucified, we are conformed to His death. We bear our cross and continue to, yes, Luke 9, 23, Matthew 16, 24 and 25. But we're made and we're conformed to His death. Conform means that we take our lives to Him. Somebody says, well, that's just the way that I am. You have to take me like I am. That's what God will do, and He will change you from just as you are to just what He wants you to be. I shared this in the Bible class this morning when there's somebody that says, well, that's just the way I am. Take me like I am. You know, there's a song that can help you out. It's called Just As I Am. It means you can change some things. You and I don't have to stay the way the world wants us through Christ if you really know Him. You'll be conformed to His death. But number four, if you really know Christ, you will attain the resurrection of the dead for good. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 15 a while ago. If you go into the latter part of that verse, really 12 through 19, actually about midway is the chapter, you and I find the importance of the resurrection, of when one will resurrect from his life. Philippians 3, 20 and 21, that we're taught that He will fashion us like unto His glorious body. Jesus put it this way in John 5, beginning with verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now question. If you were to die today and your body placed in that grave and the resurrection when it comes, by the way that you are living, would you be resurrected unto life or resurrected unto condemnation? Which one would it be? Paul said, I want to attain the resurrection. I want to attain to know when I arise that I am facing something better. Now, church and dear friends, spend a few moments with me now on what we've just talked about. I don't want anybody walking out this door not knowing where they stand. You may agree with me, you may disagree with me, you may not like me, I hope you respect me, because I'm trying to stand as a Christian would and as a preacher of the gospel would. But ladies and gentlemen, I pray that Easter Sunday will just be your beginning of faith, not an end of the means. I trust that next Lord's Day you will be with us, and the next, and the next. If you believe for one moment God and His Word grants you two Sundays a year to be faithful and you're going to go to heaven, you are mistaken. Please don't fall into that. May I break it down a little bit more? Let's say you showed up for your job 2 days a year. Would you be a faithful worker? Would you still be employed? How about as a preacher, if I showed up 2 Sundays a year, would you want to come hear me? What if our elders only showed up for 2 services a year? How much shepherding do you think they could do if they're not even around the flock? What if your child's Bible school teacher showed up 2 Sundays a year? Why would Christians be any different? Why would we be any different, Christians or not? May I challenge us this way? If you really know Christ, know the power of His resurrection and what the risen Savior grants unto you, not just one day a year, but 24/7, every day. To know that He gives us hope, to know that He's overall as head of the church that we desire you to be a member of. No, we will not vote you in. No, my friends, when you obey the gospel, you're added to the church. You join clubs. You're added to the Lord's church. You see that simplicity? You see that beauty that comes forth from the Scriptures that man many times discourages individuals from following truth because they disturb God's plan? Secondly, are you conforming to His sufferings? Are you viewing your sufferings as, I need to get things better, rather than, why is all this happening to me? There are a lot of wonderful individuals that have taken challenges in their lives, whether spiritually or physically, and they stop and they say, you know, I'm trying to deal with this, but I can't. How can I? May I suggest that you really need to know Christ? Because you see, He suffered on Calvary so that you and I can have salvation and can have hope. There is always hope. There's always that opportunity. If you really know Christ, you'll be conformed to His death. That as Brother Bill, in his talk before the Lord's Supper to set our minds on the sacrifice Christ made, even Barclay in the latter part of his prayer before he offered it in the name of Christ, as we prayed with him, prayed for you and instructed you through God's Word. Through a simple belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repentance is the sweetest word you can hear because it changes the direction and it gives you a better direction. Confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being buried with Him in baptism. I mentioned baptism, we're buried into His death, we're raised to walk in newness of life. Let the Bible continue to speak. Do you know an individual at baptism puts on Christ? That's Galatians 3:27. Did you know an individual at baptism has redemption of sins? Acts Colossians 2, 12 and 13. Did you know an individual at baptism based upon his faith is a saved individual? Mark 16, 16. Did you know that Peter even says how they were saved in the ark by water, how we are too saved a like figure where baptism doth now save us? 1 Peter 3:21. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they understood the importance of baptism because 3,000 did so. Acts 2, 38 through 41. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do the same thing today. It doesn't add you to a denominational body. It simply adds you to the church we read of in the New Testament. And that's the one that our Lord purchased, Acts 20, 28, the one He's the head of, Colossians 1, 18. If you really know Christ, you will be prepared for the resurrection. My friends, I wish I had a guarantee of how long you and I could live. Wouldn't it be something if we had a guarantee how long we could live of the things that we would change? You know, Tim McGraw made $1 million, probably more, off that song, of that thought. What would you do? I know this, death comes at any time. Death is certain. And I have shifted gears as a gospel preacher of a weak plan to encourage, to edify, and to strengthen, and then have my week totally changed because a loved one is lost. We must answer. You see, we don't expect it. And ladies and gentlemen, no matter what anybody might say to you, once we've taken our last breath and we enter into eternity, we will stand before a loving and merciful God. But ladies and gentlemen, do not be deceived. Not everybody that dies will be saved. That is a harrowing thought, but yet one that is true. If you will, on that great getting up morning, I want to be able to rise with a resurrection of life, knowing that I am looking for something better than this earth offers. So I challenge you, beloved. I challenge you, dear friend. Do you really know Christ? As a Christian, do you know Him as you always have? Know Him as your Savior, and you walk with Him every day. If that walk has deterred you, we want you to come back and start anew. To the ones that are not Christians, we've pleaded with you with God's plan of salvation, and now we want you to make a decision.